This is Tuesday, October 16th, 2018. The hosts of Coin Concede join me on the last normal show before BlizzCon 2018. This is episode 271.
When the servers go down, we'll tell you what's up. You're listening to Realm Maintenance.
Ladies and gentlemen, inventors and annoyotrons, podcasters and podcastees, welcome to Realm Maintenance. I'm Brian Black, also known to many of you as Ro. Folks, we are just two weeks away from BlizzCon week, and the hype just continues to build. I'm recording this just after the floor map of the show was revealed, and I have some thoughts on that floor map, which I'll share later on. But first, it's contest time. So a week ago, I announced on Twitter the Realm Maintenance 2018 BlizzCon Challenge. You can find that at bit.ly/rmblizzcon2018, or you can find the link to it by following the Realm Podcast Twitter account. All you have to do is click on that link, take a few minutes to answer the questions there, and all submissions that are made by October 25th will be entered to win a prize of $25 of Blizzard balance, so you can use that on Halloween Terror loot boxes before they get out of here, spend it on Hearthstone cards, save it for the next Hearthstone expansion, use it for, I don't know, a wild pet or something. There's a lot of options. Anyhow, that winner again is going to be chosen at random. I'll reveal that on the October 29th episode of this show, which is a little bit different from most. I'll talk about that later. The person who predicts the best and gets the top score points-wise, because this is all about the points, will also win $25 of Blizzard balance, and second place will win $10 of Blizzard balance. So there's no reason not to enter. It's free. You get free stuff. You get to spend stuff on Blizzard stuff. It's a whole lot of good stuff is what I'm trying to say. You know, this two-week wait for BlizzCon is going to feel like an eternity for me. It's a rare moment when I wish that this next segment of the show were longer, just so I could kill more time before BlizzCon. Of course, it's once again time to go around the world of Blizzard in 80 seconds. 2 weeks ago, Mike Morhaime stepped down as president of Blizzard Entertainment. Morhaime remains with the company in an advisory position. Succeeding him is former World of Warcraft executive producer J. Allen Brack. If you purchased a BlizzCon ticket, virtual or otherwise, you now have early access to BlizzCon store merchandise at the Blizzard Gear store. That's at gear.blizzard.com. The merchandise will be available to everyone on October 18th. October 18th is also the day for Hallow's End to begin in World of Warcraft. There does not appear to be any additions or changes made to the event from last year. Hallow's End in Hearthstone begins on the 17th, including a special-themed tavern brawl and the return of Dual Class Arena. Canadian Hearthstone pro Language Hacker took top honors this past weekend at the HCT Fall Championships. By doing so, he is qualified for the 2019 Hearthstone World Championship along with Jess Saiyan and Bloodyface from the United States and Blood Trail from Taiwan. The mana cost of 3 cards in Hearthstone will be changed on October 18th to address game balance concerns. Giggling Inventor's cost is being raised to 7 mana, the Mage card Mana Worm will cost 2 mana instead of 1, and the Wild Druid card and combo enabler Aviana is having its cost changed from 9 to 10 mana. And finally, a new character has made it to the water, the Nexus. Yes, the Dreadlord Mal'Ganis is the newest warrior to join the ranks of Heroes of the Storm as of this week.
For the last time, I am Mal'Ganis! I am not eternal! I am a turtle! Well, technically a tortolan, but still!
It's once again time for show notes, where we take a look at what some of the many Blizzard Game podcasts have been up to in recent episodes. First off, there's some pretty big news that potentially affects the majority of podcasts covering Blizzard games. The Music End podcast player service known as Spotify recently opened up its submission process for podcasts, and podcasters no longer have to be affiliated with a select few hosting services to have their podcast heard on Spotify. A number of shows have announced in the past week that they are now available on Spotify, and that includes all Realm Maintenance production shows as well. You now have more options to listen to all of your favorite Blizzard game podcasts. Now, the weeks before BlizzCon are an interesting time of year for podcasting. On one hand, the stream of news for many games tends to slow down, but at the same time, the hype gets bigger and more exciting. This usually results in more interviews and special episodes during the month of October, and this year is definitely no exception. We'll start with the Countdown to Classic podcast, a show focused on World of Warcraft Classic, and the host Josh Corbett has outdone himself by recording not one, not two, but three different interviews with former WoW designers. Each of these interviews are available for download and will give you insight on the early years of the game from those who were responsible for classes, abilities, encounter designs, and much more. Whether you're hyped for WoW Classic or just feeling nostalgic, the Countdown to Classic podcast is a must-listen in my opinion. Speaking of classic podcasts, a new classic podcast will soon make its presence known. Town Hall Classic, produced by Town Hall Heroes host Solid Jake, will record its first episode on October 18th at 10 p.m. Eastern Time over at twitch.tv/solidjakegg. The Town Hall Heroes podcast will also return from hiatus to bring you episode 175 of the long-running Heroes of the Storm show, and you can catch that live on the same Twitch channel at 10 p.m. on October 17th. All in all, there's a few different returns of a sort, and you'll kind of see that as we continue on with podcast news. The Battle.net News made its return a couple of weeks ago. Thorn and Thist from Lagging Balls were on last week's podcast. If you remember the Reigns of Azeroth podcast, you may be happy to know that Cinder is reunited with former co-host Spaz Wesson on episode 46 of the Battle Tagged podcast, where they talk about, of course, mounts and all of the other things as well. You may know Kyle Ferguson and Kristen Ashton best from their Heroes of the Storm podcasting and streaming, or from There Will Be Dungeons, but they also play a fair bit of WoW as well, and you can find them on episode 289 of Azeroth Roundtable. BlizzCon 2017 Talent Contest winner and podcaster in his own right, Jay the Bard, made an appearance on episode 25 of Decoded. That's a solid way to highlight the 25-episode milestone right there. The Starting Zone's Jason Lucas was interviewed by Anna on the latest episode of the General Chat podcast. Grand Nagus from Corpse Run Radio and Control Out WoW can be heard on episode 10 of Whispers of War. If you're looking for a BlizzCon virtual ticket, I highly suggest checking out Unshackled Fury, where you may have a chance to win Navox's virtual ticket. The Training Dummies continue to have amazing and informative guests on their show. Episode 224 featured Perculia from WoWhead talking about the upcoming WoWhead party at BlizzCon and much more. Episode 225 features Icy Vein Shaman Guide writer Word Up, providing advice for those of you who'd like to enhance their performance. Get it? Enhance, because enhancement is a shaman spec, and okay, moving on. The crossovers continue elsewhere in the WoW podscape. All Things Azeroth has Allie from Dungeon Fables next week. I'll be on All Things Azeroth the following week right before BlizzCon, and Zephira from Zephira's Adventure will help recap the event on ATA the week after. Speaking of which, Zephira recently posted episode 13 of Zephira's Adventure, if you've been curious about the status of that show. Medros and Ali also appeared on episode 75 of Frazzlecast recently, and episode 76 of Frazzlecast includes the Darkmoon Herald Ringmaster himself, Kevin Oldscratch. And speaking of which, you can find the hosts of Technically PvP guesting under the Big Top of Azeroth on episode 205 of the Darkmoon Herald. Meanwhile, hype for Con Before the Storm and World of Podcasts continues with Seraphis talking to Cuddles and Terarts on episode 120 of the Game Case. I'll also be joining Seraphis on an upcoming episode of WoW Challenges to talk about those events with Lita and Stone. Turning the Hearthstone podcast news, Twitch streamer Majadeath can be found on recent episodes of both the Hero Power Cast and Velen's Chosen. Episode 158 of Velen's Chosen also features a guest-a-palooza of sorts with content creators Audrey Kills and Dragon Rider. Before he became the HCT Fall Champion, Language Hacker made an appearance on episode 192 of Hearth Coach, where a Deathrattle Hunter deck was in the spotlight. If you're looking for tips on how to perform well in Dual Class Arena this week, I strongly encourage you to check out the most recent episode of the Lightforge podcast. And it's shameless plug time. On Hearth Casual episode 17, Kevin was feeling a little bit under the weather, so I recruited none other than Andrew Brown from the Happy Hearthstone podcast to fill in. It's a fun show, and I really hope you check it out. Wrapping up Hearthstone podcast news on a somewhat bittersweet note, the Top Deck Kings podcast posted its series finale last week. Thank you again, Cream Puff, for an amazing run, and I wish you the best in your future podcasting projects. Diablo podcast news isn't exploding just yet. Don't worry, give it a few weeks. But in the meantime, I want to give a quick shout-out in advance to the West March Workshop on their upcoming 150th episode. The Pylon Show continues to be a strong source of news and community interaction for StarCraft, which makes it no surprise that the show will be featured with a special episode recorded from inside BlizzCon itself. In the meanwhile, whether you're a StarCraft player or not, you might find value in listening to episode 24, which focuses on how offline life can affect mood, gameplay performance, and respect for opponents. It really feels like the kind of discussion that can be applied to any game, so if that interests you, do check it out. Last time on this show, you might recall Jewel Scott teasing an interview with Trixler for her Heroes News podcast. That has come to fruition. You can catch that on episode 11 of her show. Finally, in Overwatch podcast news, you can listen to the hosts of Omnic Lab on the latest episode of Overwatch Recall. And former Payload podcast host Rosh makes an appearance on this week's episode of Enter the Iris. And that, my friends, is a bucket and a half of podcast news. Clearly, nothing is stopping the hype train to BlizzCon on your favorite shows.
Cheers, love! The cavalry's here!
And to further prove that, it's once again time for the weekly podcast roundup, an insanely quick rundown of every podcast I'm aware of that covered a Blizzard franchise and produced an episode between October 8th and 14th of 2018. For General Blizzard Podcast, we have All Things Azeroth, Battle.net News, Battletag, Blizzard Watch, Epic Fail, Frozen Nerds, General Chat, Group Quest, Tank and Spank, Torn Think Tank, and the Training Dummies. Your World of Warcraft shows include Azeroth Coast to Coast, Azeroth Roundtable, Best in Slot, Countdown to Classic, Control-Alt-Wild, Dark Moon Herald, Decoded, Dungeon Fables for Azeroth, Frazzlecast, Girls Gone Wild, The Half-Hill Report, Lion's Pride Tavern, Middle Finger Podcast, Punkcast, The Raiders Confessional, Rolling Restart, Snaxxeroth, Standing in Fire, The Starting Zone, The Torn and the Goblin, The Weekly Reset, The Worgen's Howl, Whispers of War, WoW Challenges, WoW Talk, and Zephyr's Adventure. Inside the Tavern for Hearthstone, we have Six Year Dusting Air, Your Chicken Around the Hearth, Blizzard Hearthstone, Brewmasters, Coin Concede, The Daring Reporter, Happy Hearthstone, Hearth Casual, Hearth Coach, Hero Power Cast, The Lightforge, My Hearthstone Diary, Off Curve, Talk Stone, Tier 5 Podcast, Top Deck Kings, Valleytown, Velen's Chosen, Walk to Work, and Well Met. Cool Story Bro, Shattered Soulstone, and Westmarch Workshop all covered Diablo this past week. The Pylon covered StarCraft. Heroes of the Storm podcasts include Core, Gankbush Squad, Heroes News with Jewel Scott, Into the Nexus, and Lords of the Storm. And finally, for Overwatch, we have the Birdwatchers, Broverwatch, The Cavalry, Enter the Iris, Heroes Never Die, Omnic Lab, Omnic Weekly, The Overcast, Overwatch League Network, Overwatch Recall, The Owl Recap, Tactical Crouch, and Watchpoint Radio. You can find the weekly podcast roundup during this show and at the end of the Rolling Restart podcast. For links to all these shows and more great Blizzard podcasts, go to Realm-Maintenance.com. World of Podcast 2018 is almost here, and Con Before the Storm is excited to bring over 55 podcasts together through this year's series of panels. Our coverage begins with the Pod Before the Con, a two-part podcast event taking place on October 28th at twitch.tv/ConBeforeStorm. Part 1, focused on World of Warcraft, can be heard at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and Part 2, focused on all Blizzard franchises and Con Before the Storm, can be heard at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. If you can't join us live, be sure to check out both podcasts on the World of Podcasts feed, available on iTunes. Follow at World of Podcasts on Twitter for more updates, and I'll be back with information on the remainder of this year's shows on the next episode of Realm Maintenance. The featured podcast this week is a Hearthstone podcast I had the opportunity to have in the spotlight back in May of 2016. Back then, the Coin Concede podcast consisted of hosts Kenny, Cora, and Cinder. Since then, Cora has become one of the game's best-known casters, Kenny's still playing a little bit of everything Blizzard, and Cinder is involved with the United Hearthstone League. Continuing the tradition of one of the longest-running Hearthstone podcasts is the current crew of Coin Concede. They are Ridiculous Hat, Appa, and Bodicus. Welcome to the show, gentlemen.
Thanks for having us.
Yay.
Yeah, I'm excited to be on.
It's just interesting, you know, one thing that I have noticed, and it really is not something that I noticed in past years, but this year especially, there have been a number of shows that have, in the past, there are many shows when the original guests or guests, when the original hosts are done with it, they'll pretty much say, okay, that's it, show's done. There have been a few shows, like The Starting Zone, The Cavalry for Overwatch, and now like Coin Concede for Hearthstone, that basically decided that just because some hosts go doesn't mean that the show necessarily has to go. The transition really didn't shock me because from what I noticed, it was fairly gradual. Cora was just available less over time due to her casting stuff, and Kenny kind of just gradually faded away. I forget exactly when Cinder moved on, but I was wondering if you'd talk a little bit, just from your perspective, how was the transition like for you guys to go from the original three to the three of you?
Well, I think it's interesting. Coin Concede has always been community-driven as a show. The original cast was Kenny, Cora, and Kevin Cookies. We had Andres on there for a little bit.
Oh my gosh, I totally forgot Kevin.
Yeah. He was back all the way back there. I mean, we're almost...
That's right.
We're 157 episodes in, combined with bonus episodes. We've been around for a while. And the Hearthstone tournament scene, you kind of see it with the players as well. It's definitely a game where people come and go in waves. There's a surprising amount of competition in the space, as well as people have life stuff happen. Andres came on as well, and now he's full-time with the Omnic Lab, but, you know, also has a job and a lot of other stuff competing for his time, so he moved on. Cora came on and now is super famous, and they actually recruited me to take over for her spot because she was in the process of saying, I'm going to be super famous. She didn't exactly say that, but that was the idea. And it's been a show, I think, characterized by its consistency through flux. There have been some particular points where I think we can look at the transition being a little rockier. I know Cinder actually had to move on due to some personal stuff pretty suddenly. And so learning the audio aspect of things, there was a rough month there, but the community came together. And actually, we have a lot of listeners that helped us out learn that process. And now I think we're back to our usual production value. Appa took some time for himself and now is back. And Boticus has the distinction of beating 75% of our hosts at the time in our Listener League exhibition match. I'm the only one he didn't beat, just mentioning that. and that allowed him to succeed some of the other hosts when we were looking for a new body. And he's done a fantastic job of fitting right into the crew, despite his misguided Miracle Road Keep opinions.
Just all the daggers thrown at me right away. Yeah, I initially just kind of, basically they put out a call that the show was too popular and they were getting too many people that wanted coachings, which is a kind of a feature that our podcast has that not a lot of other casts have. And they just kind of put out the call, and I had just won the Listener League and basically said, you know, I have all this extra time. I'd be happy to hang out, not really expecting at all to join the cast. And then it kind of a spot opened up, and I had just guested on just once after the Listener League. So kind of ended up working out. It's been a lot of fun. It felt like a very short period of time where the whole guard just kind of changed, and it took us a little while to kind of figure out our groove, but through a lot of, you know, talking and trying to figure out where we're all kind of clicking together, I think we're starting to really kind of hit our stride. It's been a lot of fun the last few weeks, especially.
I am a infrequent listener. I probably listened to about half of your guys' episodes, and I've definitely continued to enjoy what you've been putting out there. Appa, from your point of view, with the three of you, how do you feel that Coin Concede is the same or different from when it started years ago?
Oh, wow. Well, I guess we can go back to when I first got on the show. Whenever I started, I knew Cinder from a Facebook group in New Orleans, because we both live in South Louisiana, or we did at the time. And I had just gone to DreamHack Austin in 2016, I believe, and I posted something in there, and he was like, hey, you're pretty good. You're local. We kind of know each other, sort of, not really. You want to come on the show and do a set review? I'm like, sure. So we did that, and then I didn't sound dumb. So he liked what I had to say during that show. So whenever Andres was moving on to the Omnic Lab full time, he reached out to me and he was like, hey, we're looking for a new host, keep it on down low, but you're one of the people we're looking at. And I responded back to him. I said, all right, microphone's in the mail on the way, because my mic at the time was not very good. But whenever I first started, it felt, not that it's a bad thing, it felt a lot more businessy, I guess. Whereas now, like Boticus was saying, we've hit our stride, which is weird because the podcast has been out for like about 2 years at this point, and we're just now hitting our stride. But we've kind of developed this rhythm where we flush out the show notes before an episode, we get everything plugged in, but we're not trying to put on any sort of show, really. We're just being ourselves. And I think it's actually taken a good bit of time for us to come to that point. Whereas whenever I first started, it felt a lot more like I wasn't being myself as much. I was trying to kind of put on this very professional performance, whereas now we're just memeing about Scorpomatic and King Mukla and just random stuff over the past few weeks, and everybody's really liking it. So
would it be fair to say that it's informal but still educational and entertaining?
Yeah, it's informal but informative.
I think the biggest thing that I noticed is we all definitely have a very competitive mindset whenever we're thinking about you know, subjects for the show. We definitely still, despite all of our kind of our inside jokes, a lot of it is, you know, we're all still trying to win as much as possible, regardless of how much we're actually playing. I know that we're all pretty competitive guys and really want other people to be able to succeed. And in order for other people to succeed, we still need to know what we're talking about.
When it comes to that competitive aspect, would you say then that Coin Concede is specifically for those who are working on the ranked ladder? Would you say it's a podcast that appeals to all sorts of play styles?
So I think what we want to do, the show's tagline is making the competitive side of the game more accessible to you. We definitely have content that is, by the nature of its subject matter, going to be more relevant to people who want to play in some kind of tournament or some kind of competitive aspect. Now, that doesn't mean you have to be a legend grinder. We have quite a few people in our very active Discord, including in the Season Goals channel, that are hyped about hitting rank 15 for the first time, hitting the rank 10 floor for the first time. And we try and make our content as approachable as possible. But, you know, when you talk about tournaments, when you talk about tournament strategy, some of that is going to be high level by default. That's going to be a little bit more over the head of someone maybe just picking up the game for the first time. We try and make it as accessible as possible, and we definitely want to make everyone aware tournaments don't just have to be for pros. And we're actually hosting a listener league right now where all of our listeners are welcome to come and play in a much more casual environment. There's no rule sharking. There's some prizes up for grabs, but not a lot. And people are just encouraged, try it out. These things we talk about in the podcast, see if you can translate it to play with people that you know and trust. And really, it's all about building that safe environment.
If only Hearthstone had something like a tournament mode.
What are you doing? What are you doing right now?
Salt in the wound.
Sounds like a leading. That's like a leading.
I feel like the bear has been roused, poked even.
I'll just poke it that much. I mean, I'm of a similar opinion as far as that goes. But we don't need to bring that up again. It's been talked on many a show before. All right, so definitely geared toward competitive play, but as far, I would say, still, if you're looking to improve your game, no matter where you are in the ranked ladder, you can get something out of your show. One thing that I have noticed from Coin Concede, compared to a lot of Hearthstone podcasts, is that you guys do make a pretty fair effort to often have guests on the show from a variety of places around the Hearthstone community. Just over the past several months that you guys have been podcasting this year, what are some of the more memorable guest appearances, in case some of my listeners want to check out those shows from the past months?
Oh, well, I mean, to be completely honest, I'm probably not the one to ask about that, because I did take about a 6-month break, and that's whenever Bodicus and Hat and Kenny were getting a lot of guests on the show. And when I came back, we've started to kind of taper off a little bit. We still plan on getting guests on, but we've...
So it's all your fault.
Yes, it is all my fault. But we've been more focusing kind of on just finding our own voice as a trio right now. But, I mean, that would be a great question for Bodicus and Hat, honestly, because I missed a lot of the great guests that we had on the show, unfortunately.
My favorite guest was actually the very first one we had on, when we were kind of at a point where we were looking for varied content, I guess. And I kind of came up with the idea to try to get on some guests that are not necessarily on every single podcast. So the first person I ever asked was Asmodai, who's a very popular Hearthstone streamer, and just because I was a huge fan of his stream, so I asked him to come on and he agreed. And it was a little awkward because he's in Norway, so it was really hard to kind of sync up the times, but it we got it to work out, and it was just so much fun. He's just a really genuine guy, just a really great personality. And I think it led to just having a great string of guests. But as Appa said, you know, I guess since we've been hitting our stride so well lately, it hasn't felt like we've really needed a guest. But I do know that kind of behind the scenes, I'm trying to line up a few people. I don't know for sure whether we'll be able to get them, but we're still working on it. But also at the same time, just really enjoying kind of just the episodes with the three of us. because we were getting to a point where having a guest on almost every week or every other week was, I think, detracting a bit from our ability to gel as a group.
Why don't we talk a little bit about just the current state of the game in a nutshell? And I'm going to pose it to you folks like this, and Hat, we'll start with you. On a scale of 1 to 10, how eager are you for the current competitive meta to change?
I'd say on a scale of 1 to 10, I'd give it a 2-1 with 2 1-2s attached. So I guess a 5.
It took me a minute to put that together, and I just realized why you said it that way. Would it have to do anything with a certain giggling inventor?
Hello? Hello? Hello?
All right, so are you frustrated that the card was not nerfed or just outright removed over the latest major patch in the game? Is the inventor really, in your opinion, that bad for Hearthstone?
So I'm going to answer a question you didn't ask, which is kind of my thing. I think the current meta is only facing as much negativity as it is because of other issues with the game structure right now. And mm-hmm. I think, honestly, if this meta were around a year ago instead of the Jade Druid meta, people would have been so much happier with this. Mm-hmm. It's really, the meta has a bunch of stuff going on, and I would definitely recommend checking out the Vicious Syndicate article they posted on Monday about meta polarity. Yeah, it's a really great look into what's going on, but it's not the only thing. The reason that this meta feels the way it does, in our opinion on the show, is in part due to the game being structured, the ladder being structured in a way that removes a feeling of progression when they change the ladder placements from starting, if you regress from a legend player at the end of the month down to 16, instead of a legend player at the end of the month, you're down to rank 4. It takes you so much less time to get to where you're used to getting, and you no longer feel the same kind of progression in that climb. And so then 10 hours in, you're just kind of sitting there saying, what do I do? And I think because the lack of the variety in the month-to-month experience combined with the lack of variety in the meta is leading people to be pretty burnt out and placing a lot of blame, projecting a good amount of blame on the meta as it currently stands, even though I think there are larger issues that I hope get resolved through structural changes to what players actually have to do in Hearthstone, or the lack of what players have to do in Hearthstone.
That's kind of interesting, because I remember that change from a lot of people being hailed as like, oh, a really awesome, great quality of life thing. And then the grind to legend was going to be so much easier and not as much of an endurance trial and a thing to see, like, just can I play X number of games within a month? And so you're basically saying we're finally kind of seeing the bitter truth and aftermath of what that system causes to people's excitement for the game.
Well, and also, I don't disagree with you on the first reaction, but the first reaction we saw was the social network interaction from heavily invested players that were grinding 5 to Legend every month. There are a lot of players, millions of players, that do not grind 5 to Legend.
That's true.
Quite a few. And we did a discussion with a bunch of our listeners that were in the 10 to 5 or 15 to 10 or 20 to 15 brackets. And they played a lot less because instead of 2 stars per rank, 3 stars per rank, it was 5 stars per rank. Yeah. And they were getting the same 4 ranks were being gained and lost every single month. And they said, what's the point? Where am I getting? And I think even that feeling of progression of getting to from rank 21 to rank 10, even if a high legend finisher doesn't view that as an accomplishment, seeing the number change and gaining those gold stars, it matters, and people get to set new milestones and change how they approach the ladder every month while still making progress. It feels like Blizzard changed it into placements as opposed to rankings, because you kind of drop to your nearest rank floor and you stay in that bracket month after month after month. There's no different end game content. The legend ladder has been the same since the game launched. There's no tournament mode. Wild is kind of a nice side mode, but I think we can all agree doesn't have the same kind of attention from Blizzard that Standard does. And Arena has been kind of a low played game mode since the game has launched as well. There's been nothing really added in nearly 5 years now outside of Tavern Brawl. So I think it's just people trying to find something to do with that extra time and trying to find that feeling of progress and failing to do so.
Yeah, I think Wild's a pretty juicy format, but I digress. Appa, how about you, on a scale of 1 to 10, from your point of view, how eager are you for the current meta to change?
Sorry, I'm still reeling from that juicy Psygmelon pun that you snuck in there. For me personally, I know I'm in the minority of players, I think, and I've talked about this on the podcast before, where I'm actually enjoying the meta a lot from a competitive player standpoint, because I am one of those players who resets to rank 4 every month, grinds to legend, and then just wants to play good decks. And each class pretty much has access to one or two decks that you could realistically take on ladder and be really successful with, as long as you learn it pretty well. So I'm enjoying that about the meta a lot, but I do think it is pretty stale because the Boomsday didn't add too much. The thing with this meta that I've talked about before is that the Witchwood and the Boomsday have signaled kind of a design philosophy shift, where the cards in the sets have been very much powered down, as opposed to Un'Goro, Knights of the Frozen Throne, and Kobolds and Catacombs. And mm-hmm. we're kind of in this lame duck period waiting for those sets to rotate, where we're just stuck with all the same busted cards. Like, a lot of the issues that we're having with Druid on ladder, with Ultimate Infestation, Spreading Plague, with the Lich King in every deck, with the quest causing so much polarity on ladder. A lot of that is with the past year's worth of sets and the design philosophy, where they were really pushing the envelope on power level, and they've really, really toned back on that with the latest two sets in the Witchwood and the Boomsday. So it feels like they're not making much of an impact. So the meta feels really stale, because we've been seeing the same decks for like 6 months, and now we just have pretty much the same decks from the Witchwood, but with Giggling Inventor added. So even though it is stale, I am enjoying the deck, like the ladder experience, because I feel like a bunch of matchups have really interesting play involved. There are some definitely polarized decks out there that I'm not a fan of, but overall, I'm pretty happy with where the meta is, even though I do concede the fact that it does feel pretty stale.
It will be interesting to see how this third expansion changes things, because since it is a third expansion, it's technically an expansion that's in the rotation for the shortest amount of time compared to the other two in a given year. It'll be interesting to see if they push the envelope once again, go to like Kobolds and Catacombs craziness, or even Frozen Throne craziness, I think would be welcome. Bodicus, how about you? 1 to 10, how eager are you for the current meta change?
So I'm at a weird spot right now, where the decks that I feel like I should be playing in the meta are not the ones I necessarily want to be playing, not necessarily the ones that I enjoy. And the ones that I enjoy are not necessarily the ones I can win with. So at the same time, I don't necessarily need the meta to change right now, because I'm trying to enjoy some other games for a period of time. So I feel like when the meta changes, if a deck comes out that I will like more, I'll be playing a lot more Hearthstone, but I'm still playing a good amount. So I don't really know where to scale that. It's one of those things where I want to kind of enjoy my other games for now, but I think when the new set comes out in maybe a couple months, I'm hoping that the meta gets shaken up a lot. I'm not super invested in having it change right away, but definitely for the new competitive season starting in January, I'm hoping the meta changes a lot and really I can find a deck that I can really, you know, push and do well in the new competitive season.
It's interesting that you bring up other games, because I mean, that's definitely one thing that I've noticed, is that it's a very interesting time for Hearthstone in regards to competition, because you have games like Eternal, which is getting a lot of attention. Magic the Gathering Arena is open beta, just came out. You have other games like Artifact, and then even more games in development like the Bazaar from Raynad, which may bring something to the table that Hearthstone players may decide to go to instead. So big picture wise, I would say that aside from an expansion announcement at BlizzCon 2018, I feel like this year's BlizzCon they need to do something big. They need to bring something to the table that's going to make Hearthstone players go, oh, hey, they're doing more than just the usual thing. So that kind of leads me to my last question for you three. And Appa, we'll start with you. What's the one thing that you are hoping for out of BlizzCon 2018 as it relates to Hearthstone?
Well, I mean, if I'm being completely honest, no matter how far-fetched it sounds after their most recent announcement, but I'm hoping for an announcement that they're working on a tournament mode that people can like actually get behind.
Just kidding. You know how we said tournament mode was on the shelf? Yeah, we're just kidding, guys. We're just ribbing you for a laugh.
I really love that optimism. Like, it's not a wrong answer, but it
really isn't.
Yeah. I mean, it's what I'm hoping for, man. I'm not sure. It's
a good answer. Hat, what about you?
I hope Appa's right. I would love a Diablo expansion. Maybe with the Diablo news coming, that'll be the next expansion. I don't know. See, the thing that I've been grappling with, because there's been a lot of people talking about all the other games in the space, what makes Hearthstone money, I think, is the reason why they developed the new player experience the way they did, and they made a new welcome bundle. I think the people that make Hearthstone money are not the tournament players. I don't know if Hearthstone needs a vibrant tournament scene to survive as a product. For tournament players and for the tournament scene, maybe it needs a little bit more than it has. But for the people that are new to the game and putting the money into the game, if Team 5 is switching their focus from retention to absorption to growth, then the game as it stands is probably still pretty profitable. I hope they add more. And really, another game mode of some sort, some end game level content. I want, for WoW players out there, I want the Mythic Plus of Hearthstone. I want something to do at the end of the game when I feel like I've got everything that I'm supposed to have and I've hit legend, I'm not sure what to do. I want some kind of challenge mode, some kind of, it doesn't have to be tournament client, even if they just make Heroic Tavern Brawl a permanent part of the client.
I just want, there are two things that I'm looking for. One is the ability to do Conquest or Last Man Standing against a player, best 3 out of 5 kind of stuff, even if it's not part of a tournament system, just to have that option of gameplay. Or outside of that, the arena is great. I would like to see something along the lines of a sealed deck format rather than a pseudo draft format that the arena provides. What that would entail, what the cost would be to that, who knows. And how about you, Bodicus? What's the one thing that you are hoping for out of BlizzCon 2018 for Hearthstone?
So I'm known for giving kind of cop-out answers, okay. And this one might be one of those, because I definitely agree with both Hat and Appa. Those sound like great things, but honestly, the thing I'm looking forward most to about BlizzCon is seeing my two good friends, Appa and
Hat. I knew he was going to say it.
Blizzard's not announcing that. Blizzard is not going to go up on stage and just say, no. We want to point out that Bodic is here and he's very happy because he's with his buddies. Thanks for coming to Hearthstone. What's next? We'll see you next year.
I got to meet these guys last year and it was so much fun, and I didn't even have a ticket for BlizzCon. I just kind of hung out outside. So this year is going to be my first BlizzCon. I have no idea what to look forward to other than seeing these two guys and hopefully meeting some listeners as well. So that's my cop-out answer. I'm sorry.
It's quite all right. There's going to be a lot of awesome opportunities to meet with people at BlizzCon, both in and outside of the con. And there's nothing quite like your first BlizzCon as far as like the opening ceremony experience itself. I would strongly suggest sitting in whatever arena they have set up specifically for Hearthstone, so you can just check out the oohs and ahs at whatever the third expansion is. If there are oohs and ahs, I really hope there are. I think that pretty much gives people a good taste of what you guys are about. Of course, they can listen to much more by checking out Coin Concede. Hat, if you can let my listeners know the best way that they can get connected with the three of you and your show.
Best way to get connected with us, we are pretty active on Twitter, and Discord are the best places to interact. I'm on twitter.com/ridiculoushat. You can find Appa at twitter.com/appahs and Boticus at twitter.com/boticushs. You can find our show at twitter.com/coinconcede and our Discord at coinconcede.discord.com. We're very friendly. Come say hello.
Awesome. Once again, Hat, Appa, Boticus, thank you for being on this week. It's great to know that the show is still in awesome hands, and best of luck to you guys throughout the remainder of the year and into 2019.
Thanks for
having us.
It's once again time for some RNG, folks, and normally RNG stands for Random Number Generator. It never stands for that here. This time, I'm going to say it stands for Revived Nuggety Goodness. All right, so true story. I own a deep fryer. I haven't used it in about a year. Don't worry, it's clean and everything, but or rather, it was clean until the other day. I just had a craving for chicken nuggets. Now, I'm not really a fan of fast food nuggets. McDonald's nuggets, Burger King nuggets, I've never tried Wendy's nuggets, and I hear they're pretty good, but I've just never had the opportunity. So I just bought a couple of chicken breasts, got some flour, some seasonings, not 11 herbs and spices, more like 5 or 6. Chopped up the chicken, breaded it again, and the rest is history. Homemade chicken nuggets are such a vice. Okay, hey, you guys at Snackseroth, if you're listening to this show, you need to make a segment on Buzzard Bites and tell me your recipe for the perfect chicken nugget, and I will try it out, and I will let you know what I think of it. Moving on, let's talk BlizzCon hype. Now, as I mentioned at the top of the show, the floor map for BlizzCon 2018 was revealed just today, today being Monday. Hall D has been turned. It's hard to really describe this on a podcast format, but Hall D is like this rectangle, right? And usually the stage would take up the longer side of a rectangle. This time it's being turned so that you have seats going further back, and the stage is all the way toward the back, which mimics what the other stages in the building are doing. That's not really a big deal, except what it does is it opens up the back of that hall to put stuff in it. And at that space, which is pretty close to, the, of course, the entrance and exit doors, Diablo 3 has a demo. And next to it is the Horodric Retreat. Now, this is, of course, in Hall D, where the Mythic stage is, so it's getting prime positioning. Now, the fact that Diablo 3 is getting a demo isn't a big surprise. Of course, Diablo 3 was announced for Switch, and it will have its premiere on Switch, I think, the same day. So, seeing Diablo 3 on Switch, not really a big deal. I figure that's what's happening there. The Horodric Retreat is an interesting name change for the Slaughtered Lamb thing that they did the past couple of years. But what's more noticeable than all of this that I've talked about is that there is a sizable amount of empty space right next to that in Hall D. Something is going to be there. I cannot believe that they're just going to leave that space for people to walk around in and doing nothing. I don't know what it is. I mean, there are 4 halls in the convention center. It is Hall D, so 4 halls, D, Diablo 4 confirmed. that is a very bad joke, and I actually don't think it's going to be Diablo 4. I've said this a number of times. I do think there is a new Diablo game coming. I don't think it's called Diablo 4. I don't know what's going to be there, but I'm pretty sure it's Diablo-related, and I'm pretty excited about it. That's not where this discussion ends. Leviathan, who is one of the co-hosts for Westmarch Workshop, you can follow him on Twitter at LeviathanD3. I wonder if he'll have to change that to LeviathanD4, but anyhow, Leviathan replied to my tweet, and he said, "Just to play Diablo's advocate," I see what you did there, that's really good. "Just to play Diablo's advocate, couldn't you say the same thing about the empty space in Hall C? Not sure if this is significant enough to draw any conclusions." And you know what? You're right. Maybe you're right, Leviathan. There is an empty space in Hall C that is just about the same size as the empty space in Hall D, but... wait. That's a good point, because Hall C is where the Warcraft tournament stage is located and the World of Warcraft demo area, and there's still a space there, and it's a noticeable blank space. Now, maybe I'm freaking crazy, but J. Allen Brack mentioned multiple surprises at BlizzCon, and I don't feel that announces like a new hero for Overwatch, a new hero for Heroes of the Storm, an expansion for Hearthstone, patch 8.2 content, I don't feel any of that is a surprise. We all know that stuff is more than likely coming. So, multiple surprises at BlizzCon, could it be that not only are we getting something for Diablo in Hall D, in that empty space that I've talked about, but is Warcraft getting something too? And if so, what the heck is it? Or is it a new IP? Is it a mobile game? I'm drawing so many conclusions. So, should I just call my shot and make a prediction here? Okay, I'm not going to do the Diablo prediction because, again, we're getting a Diablo something and I predict it's not Diablo 4. But let's talk about this Hall C space. I'm going to say... I'm going to say that Warcraft is going to get a mobile game. I don't know what form that takes, but I think we may see a Warcraft mobile game premiered in that spot. That's a really big stretch, but I mean, Command & Conquer did get a mobile RTS announced recently, and I don't even know if it's playable and stuff. Could Warcraft continue its RTS stuff by going mobile? Is that how they avoid the whole not doing an RTS thing on PC? I don't know, but let's just make that prediction. Warcraft RTS on mobile premiered at BlizzCon 2018. Of course, these predictions are likely doomed to fail now because I've mentioned them, but, you know, my hype and interest in BlizzCon is growing more and more than I thought it possibly could. And that sound means your update is complete. It's time to press the play button and start packing for BlizzCon 2018. It is never too soon to pack. I still need to purchase some clothes I'm planning to wear while I'm in Anaheim, including stuff that I may be wearing when I go to Disneyland that Sunday. Yeah, just saying. of course, this show is part of Realm Maintenance Productions, along with the Rolling Restart podcast, if you want to hear more WoW talk, and Hearth Casual, if you're into Hearthstone. You can support all three of these podcasts by going to patreon.com/realmpodcast. Again, a big thank you to everyone supporting Realm Maintenance Productions through Patreon. Your support is what's making this BlizzCon 2018 challenge possible as far as the prizes and such go for it. If this happens to be your first time listening, you can find this podcast on most podcasting apps, including Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn, and Spotify. Don't forget to check out realm-maintenance.com, where you can find not only the weekly podcast roundup, but a directory of most podcasts out there covering your favorite Blizzard franchises. If you're a podcaster and have news about your show or a promo to send in, or if you're a listener with questions about Blizzard games or podcasts for those games, send those emails to realmpodcast@gmail.com. You can also follow the show on Twitter @realmpodcast or follow myself @Rowow, spelled R-H-O-W-O-W. Again, folks, as I mentioned at the top, this is the last normal episode of Realm Maintenance that you're going to hear for about a month, but that doesn't mean that this show is on hiatus. Far, far from it. I will be at BlizzCon 2018, and I'm pretty sure that I'll be recording short interviews with various podcasters and other content creators and members of the community. You'll hear all of that, and maybe, just maybe, if my luck holds out, another dev interview with someone from a Blizzard game. You'll hear all of that on the Tuesday after BlizzCon. But before we get there, in 2 weeks, make sure to check back here for an epic pre-BlizzCon roundtable episode featuring podcasters from The Worgen's Howl, Loot Optional, The Rolling Restart, and Hearth Casual. It's a Frozen Fox Media roundtable, and just maybe there'll be a surprise or two with it as well. Until then, I've been Ro, you've been you, and Realm Maintenance has been completed. This podcast has been the presentation of Realm Maintenance Productions, copyright 2018, and is part of the Frozen Fox Media Network. You'll find more great shows at frozenfoxmedia.com. Certain audio portions of this podcast belong entirely to Blizzard Entertainment, and no copyright infringement is intended. The show's theme music is a cover of Call to Arms by Emma Fox. Thanks again to the hosts of Coin Concede for being on the show this week. You can follow their show on Twitter at Coin Concede. Thanks for your interest, your retweets, and your downloads of this show and others in the Blizzard podcasting community. And as always, thanks to you for listening.
This podcast is part of the Frozen Fox Media Network. Visit us at frozenfoxmedia.com for information about this and all the other content we offer. You can also find us on Twitter at Frozen Fox Media. Frozen Fox Media, cool content for the gaming community.